is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The HMAS Toowoomba. The news from Sydney. The Australian Prime Minister today said his government has raised the, quote, strongest possible objection after a Chinese Navy ship allegedly used sonar in a way that harmed an Australian diver, an incident that prompted sharp questions from the opposition in Sydney, as well as a demand for consequences. I connect this to an event, this is Defense One, of some weeks past, when a U.S. admiral commenting on the Chinese intentions in the Pacific, Chinese military directed by Beijing to be increasingly provocative. This from the admiral commanding U.S. Indo-Pacific Command. He's the nominee, but he will be the admiral once he's cleared from the Senate, Admiral Samuel Paparo. These two events, earlier in the month of November, Paparo saying they will be provocative, and then an incident that clearly describes willful abuse of safety in the high seas, requires an understanding of China in the world. So I welcome Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, who is an Australian national. And recently, Mr. Albanese made a trip to Beijing, shook hands with Xi Jinping, talked in a fashion that was accommodating to the Chinese concerns, and also looked to reestablish good relations. Chiefly, we can sell our wine to China and other products of Australia. But this incident suggests that there is something else to worry about. Gregory, a very good evening to you. The Toowoomba incident now joins the questions by Admiral Paparo that China is provocative. And yet Xi Jinping was in California recently at APEC, anything but provocative. If, in fact, I would say he was being polite about his ambitions. These two Xi Jinpings, is that what we can expect? And what did he expect in San Francisco? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, I think we need to put this into perspective. Xi Jinping has now been absolutely chastised and reined in by the People's Liberation Army, but particularly also by the Communist Party of China leadership. He is blamed for losing the entire Chinese economy, as we've been talking about for some years here. And they, at the recent Beida gathering of the Communist Party leadership, he was severely criticized and essentially told, you will put this back on track, including relations with the United States, and get the economy back moving. Well, what we saw is him starting a charm offensive then, about 2 weeks ago, in which he actually co-opted one of the great symbols of the Kuomintang, the nationalists who were his big enemy in the Chinese Civil War. Their big symbol, of course, was the Flying Tigers, the U.S. Air Force, or the U.S. military aviation group, which was working with the Kuomintang against the communists and against the Japanese, became very famous in the run-up to World War II, the Flying Tigers. Well, all of a sudden, Xi Jinping is praising them as great allies of, quote, China against Japan. So he was doing all the things he could to show that he was a great friend of the United States and they're going to rebuild the friendship. At the same time, having done that in order to essentially appease his Communist Party opponents in Beijing, he is trying to prove his ongoing virility as the great single leader and show that he's not backing down and that the PLA Navy, for example, is still challenging the rest of the world. So this incident in the Japanese territorial waters, where a very modern PLA Navy destroyer, Ningbo, which is a Type 856 EM destroyer, very capable, came alongside almost HMAS Toowoomba, which was dead in the water because its propellers and shafts were wrapped with fishing nets. The Australians had divers in the water basically cutting the nets away from the shafts. When Toowoomba signaled Ningbo and told them to stay away because they had divers in the water. They had a flag up at the masthead, literally saying divers in the water. And then the Ningbo turned on its hull-mounted sonar, which is used to detect submarines, and sent out a series of sonar pulses, which are extremely loud energy pulses, which normally go underwater to hit the submarine's hull and bounce back to the sender. But when they hit individual people or fish, they're enormously damaging. And the Australians quickly pulled their divers out of the water, but some of them suffered injuries. Now, Albanese was at that point in San Francisco, and it was left to the Deputy Prime Minister, Richard Marles, who's also a defence minister, to voice his extreme displeasure with this and protest in the most severe manner to the PRC. Look, it's a small incident, but it shows that we see the two sides of Xi Jinping. He is being corralled by his peers in the Communist Party. At the same time, he's trying to prove his virility and that the PLA is still out there challenging the world. So this was all, if you like, a deep sort of background to what was he really doing in San Francisco. We've spoken for some time that he and President Biden of the US were going to seek some kind of papering over of their differences so that they could get back to business as usual. Well, of course, it can't be business as usual. The Chinese economy has collapsed completely. Most US major investors in mainland China have withdrawn their funds, as have the Japanese investors and many others. So the Chinese economy is in tatters. It's not going to be rebuilt anytime soon, which means that the Communist Party of China faces an unemployment rate approaching 50% of the workforce at a time when this extreme unrest is happening in the cities, with people having lost all of their life savings on investments in their collapsed property market and the like. So it's a time of desperation for the Communist Party. So what is Xi Jinping doing in San Francisco? Firstly, he smiles through the renewed accidental insult by President Biden, calling him once again a dictator, and instead of taking great umbrage as he did the first time that President Biden called him a dictator, he just smiles and nods, and he goes on after that to deliver a speech to U.S. businessmen who President Biden had pulled together for a dinner for President Xi, and he's basically seeming to say, well, yeah, you can call me a dictator, we're old pals, you don't have to worry about it. But behind the scenes, we know, and we know this from, by the way, senior Communist Party of China officials speaking in Shanghai to us, who, and by the way, Shanghai is the hub, if you like, of the anti-Xi faction, of the Jiang Zemin faction of the Communist Party. And they said, well, Xi was sent there to ask President Biden to bail out the Chinese economy with an investment of $900 million, almost $1 trillion. Well, it shows the level of desperation that Xi and the Communist Party are in if they think that this is going to work, because there's no way that Mr. Biden can get that out of the public purse. And there's no way that the U.S. business community is going to commit that kind of money in the short term. Sure, there could be some calming down of the investment situation and a gradual buildup of U.S. investment in the PRC, but it's not going to be quick enough to solve China's massive economic dilemma. So we now see that President Xi has gone back. He's facing what it's almost like he's under house arrest by the Communist Party of China. And the question is, what steps will the Communist Party take now to save them, to save itself from Xi Jinping? Will they depose him completely? Will they keep him as a token leader, but return to collective decision making, which they had for virtually the entire period after the death of Mao Zedong? Will the PLA itself intervene? Certainly, even as Xi said, and confirming what we have been saying, the PLA is not in a position to attack Taiwan at this moment. It doesn't mean, as we said again last week, that the PLA can't be used to intimidate Taiwan and attempt to bluff it and bully it into some kind of accommodation with Beijing. And that could include various plans for escalation. But the reality is, and now Xi has confirmed it, they can't do anything. They need the money. They want things to calm down. And they need to get some symbols that the world loves them once again. And I don't believe it's going to happen.
Speaking to Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs editor and publisher, about discordant activities by the Chinese leader and the Chinese PLA Navy, which is sworn allegiance to Xi Jinping, to the Communist Party, yes, but to Xi Jinping. That was in his first 5 years. He was making certain that the admirals and the generals were loyal to him. When we come back, Xi's meeting with the prime minister of Tokyo, Kishida. And what does this mean for Xi's mission to repair the damage that he's done over the last 11 years, with his neighborhood and with his economy? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Battle.